Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reicher of Crime Talk. Let's get straight to the docket. First, a Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell update. Second, Michelle Traconis wants off of GPS and she's blaming everything on photos. Doulos. Third, Jacob Blake, new video, new information. Fourth, Scott Peterson, remember this guy? And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. As always, thank you for watching on YouTube, and also thank you for listening to our podcast that you can get every day shortly after we put up our video as well. Now, if you haven't done so already, we would ask that you please hit the subscribe button, hit that like button, and as always, leave us a comment below. First, a few announcements. Tonight is Tuesday. What does Tuesday mean? That's right. It means we're going live tonight at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. And shortly after that, when we conclude, we will go live to our Patreon group as well. Now, what are we going to be talking about in our live conversation this evening? It's easy. First, we're going to be discussing the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matter. We'll also be discussing the Jacob Blake matter and the Scott Peterson matter. So please join us this evening for that conversation. First on the docket, a Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell update. Now, Lori Vallow will have her preliminary hearing on August 27th at 1:30 p.m. That's the arraignment. That is what will take place just like Chad DeBell did. The significance of that is that a not guilty plea enters and that starts the speedy trial clock. The state, the government must get each of them to trial within 6 months. But more significantly, the court issued some mandatory orders, and we already know that Chad DeBell will have a pretrial conference on December 8th, and a jury trial is scheduled to commence on January 11th, 2021, and that will go for approximately 3 weeks. Now, the court's order also says that all motions need to be filed in accordance with Idaho Rules of Criminal Procedure, which means that from the date that Chad DeBell entered his plea of not guilty, he, along with the prosecutor, must file their motions within 28 days of that plea. Now, those motions are obviously going to allege any defects in the prior proceedings in the preliminary hearing up to this date, any defects in the complaint in this particular case that have been filed, basically showing that the court doesn't have any jurisdiction or something along those lines. Additionally, if there was any evidence that was illegally obtained, a motion to suppress will be filed by the defense. Now, the two cases between Chad and Lori are already separate, but the prosecutor is going to have to make a decision as to whether he wants to try these two together or separately. That motion will also be due in 28 days. If motions to suppress are going to be filed, we're going to get a lot more information about the evidence that the state has against Chad DeBell and Lori Vallow. In particular, the motion to suppress must state, obviously, the evidence that the defense is asking to be suppressed, the legal basis for the suppression, and it has to be with enough specificity to give the other side reasonable notice of all of the issues. And pursuant to the rules of criminal procedure in Idaho, once these motions are filed, that a hearing must be brought within 14 days after the filing or 48 hours before trial, whichever is earlier. Now, really what that means is it just can't sit on the judge's docket, but more than likely, the judge will set this matter rather quickly so that these legal issues can be resolved as expeditiously as possible. Why? Because that gives both the prosecution and the defendant certainty. Everyone likes certainty, whether it's in life, you particularly like it in court, you want to be able to try and either predict or manipulate what the result is going to be. And with the court's ruling, you know with what you're working with, and it also lets the public know what's going on. So we can't wait for those filings. Next on the docket, Michelle Trakonis. Do you remember that name? It's been a while. That was the new girlfriend of Fotos Doulos. Fotos Doulos was charged with first the disappearance and then the murder of his wife, Jennifer. The couple was involved in a rather bitter child custody battle. And to date, Miss Jennifer Doulos' body has never been found. The prosecution against Fotos Doulos was obviously dismissed when he died from his injuries resulting from his attempted suicide. Even Fotos Doulos couldn't do that properly. He has a history of messing things up. Well, Michelle Trakonis was charged with conspiracy to murder Jennifer Doulos, a mother of five, and she's obviously entered a plea of not guilty. Her attorneys are asking to remove the ankle bracelet that is on Ms. Trakonis to monitor her whereabouts pre-trial. And this is obviously what they refer to as the GPS monitor. Ms. Doulos also wants travel restrictions removed, at least within the United States. Now, the argument for the bond reduction is a change in circumstance. We've talked about this before, but when a defendant argues for a bond reduction or modification, he just can't keep coming back saying, look, more time has passed. Let me out on bond. I still can't make the bond as it's currently set. You have to have new information or circumstances have changed. The way that the attorney for Ms. Trakonis is getting around this is he's saying, listen, judge, there's new video where the prosecution is alleging that Fotos Doulos was disposing of items possibly related to the death of Jennifer Doulos. And the video shows that Ms. Trakonis never exited the pickup or assisted Fotos Doulos in disposing of these items. The argument that the defense is making on behalf of Ms. Trakonis is that there are false and material allegations against the defendant in the affidavits for arrest warrant, which the attorneys allege are false or are a reckless disregard for the truth, and therefore the bail should be reduced because the case against Ms. Trakonis is much weaker than substantially thought. This is a Hail Mary attempt based upon new information by Ms. Trakonis' attorney. I don't think it's going to work. I think her GPS monitor is going to stay on her ankle. Now, I'm not saying that she would flee, but the court might and the district attorney might as well. The simple fact is a conspiracy only involves two people to commit an illegal act. One does not have to do everything at all the time the alleged conspiracy is taking place, i.e. dumping of body parts, as long as you know what was going on and the nature of the conspiracy. That's where it doesn't look good for Ms. Trakonis. You know who should have gone to crimetalksearch.com? That's right. Ms. Trakonis should have gone there before she got involved with Fotos Doulos. Why, you asked? Well, had she gone to crimetalksearch.com, she could have signed up for a background subscription service, put in Mr. Fotos Doulos' name, and found out that he was married. They also would have found property records and judgments. All right? Those are the kinds of things that you can find when you sign up for the subscription. And the beautiful thing is that you can do it as many times as you want while you have your valid subscription, and you can cancel at any time. And when you do that search, you are going to get a report that literally searches millions and millions of public records, and you are going to have information related to the person's social media history, any phone numbers associated with them, emails associated with them. That's significant. Those are the kinds of things you want to be able to look into, particularly if you're getting to know someone new. This report is also going to include criminal history records, background records, marital records, things that you want to know when you're getting to know somebody new. We have received notes from numerous subscribers saying, hey, thank you for this service. I was involved with somebody. I did a background check and found out that they had charges against them relating to conduct with children. I had another individual contact us and say, hey, I was going to get involved in business with somebody, and I found out they had a history of fraud in their background. Ladies and gentlemen, tell me that was not worth its weight in gold. Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, let's talk about the Jacob Blake matter. That's right. That is the gentleman who was shot in the back 7 times by the Kenosha, Wisconsin Police Department. Well, yesterday we showed you the video, which was basically across the street, which showed Mr. Blake reaching into the car, and the officer looks like he's pulling an item of clothing on Mr. Blake's body, specifically the shirt, and then the officer fires some 7 rounds. Now, Mr. Blake has survived. He apparently is paralyzed, but is in a good condition in the sense that he's going to live. The big issue obviously becomes, as we talked about yesterday, was this unlawful or lawful but awful? Now, new video has emerged today. Take a look at this. This shows Mr. Blake in some sort of altercation or scuffle with the police officers on the back side of the vehicle. This was not known yesterday, at least not from my perspective, from the videos that I had seen. The video clearly shows that Mr. Blake is getting up from the ground, gets up, walking around to his car, and obviously what is going to be of significance is, what did the officer believe that Mr. Blake was reaching for? Was he going in to get his license? Was he going to get his keys? Was he going to roll the window down because his kids were in the car? Or was there something else there that would have presented a danger to the officer? That's going to be the huge issue. There's been no information released as to whether they found any weapons or other dangerous items in the car where Mr. Blake was in fact shot. The officer involved in this particular case should probably lawyer up. The biggest problem, and I get it, some people are going to say Mr. Blake was reaching to the car. Who knew what he was going for? I get it. Very reasonable. But at that point, we don't know what the officer saw. And if he didn't see a dangerous weapon and they found nothing, he's got a problem, he being the officer. Why? Because he shot him in the back, ladies and gentlemen. You don't shoot people in the back and then claim self-defense. They're moving away from you. Gets a lot trickier. We'll see if charges are forthcoming. Now, who is this Jacob Blake? I had a lot of comments yesterday where a lot of people said, you are not saying any information about Jacob Blake. I didn't know the information when this came out, and we were kind of on a schedule yesterday that was rather busy, but we are learning that Jacob Blake is 29. There is some question of whether he has 4 children or 6 children. His wife has released photos of Mr. Blake with 4 kids. Apparently, he lived in Evanston, which is a suburb of Chicago, which is about 65 miles south of Kenosha, where he was living with extended family members. He apparently moved to Kenosha for work and was there to basically try to make a better life for himself. We know that he was apparently a volunteer at the Black Urban Recycling Center in Chicago, and apparently the proceeds of those recycling efforts went to benefit veterans. Now, what we can confirm regarding Mr. Blake's criminal history is apparently he has a pending criminal case that started last month. The online court records indicate Kenosha County prosecutors charged Blake on July 6th with third-degree sexual assault, trespassing, and disorderly conduct in connection with a domestic abuse matter. An arrest warrant was issued for Blake the following day. There's no further information as it relates to any attorney of record or the status of the case. And although some sources are making allegations of a lengthier criminal history, I'm not going to comment on any of those until and if they have actually been verified. There's a lot of people out there spreading a lot of information that is simply not correct, and we're not going to do that. However, what I would tell you is, whether this man has his first case ever, which is currently pending, or if he had a criminal history a mile long, guess what, would be of no relevance whatsoever as related to the conduct of the police officer, particularly if there was going to be a trial of any kind. It is unlikely, from what we have seen, that the officer had any opportunity to run Mr. Blake's criminal history or background. Regardless, one's criminal history does not necessarily dictate the facts and circumstances of one particular day. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, our criminal justice system is based upon you are charged for the acts allegedly committed that day. You don't get to bring in one's complete criminal history because, well, you're given the presumption of innocence on this particular matter. One thing that I haven't seen any comment about is whether charges will be filed against Mr. Blake as it relates to some sort of disorderly conduct or failing to disregard an officer's commands. Now, why is that important? Well, if there's going to be a lawsuit against the city, and particularly the officers as well, individually under what they refer to as a 1983 action, if there is a criminal matter that Mr. Blake pleads guilty to or is found guilty of, it makes the recovery in the 1983 action much more difficult. We're going to continue to follow this case because clearly there's a lot of information that has not been released yet, and we'll report the facts, the good, the bad, and the ugly for both sides when they come out. Next on the docket, Scott Peterson. You remember that guy? That's right, Scott Peterson. He was the one who was found guilty of murdering his wife, Lacey, and their unborn child. And it was alleged that Lacey was 7 months pregnant when she disappeared from her Modesto home just before Christmas in 2002. She was ultimately reported missing by her husband, Scott Peterson. And it was also alleged that in the early days of the month-long search for Lacey, a woman who had been having an affair with Peterson came forward. In April of 2003, Lacey's body and that of her son washed up into the San Francisco Bay. Scott Peterson was ultimately arrested thereafter. In November of 2004, a jury found Peterson guilty of first-degree murder for Lacey's death and second-degree murder for the death of the son, Connor. Peterson, who's now 47, was sentenced to death on December 13th of 2004. Now, attorney Mark Garagos, who formerly represented Peterson, said that if the state wishes to put someone to death, it must prove attorney Mark Garagos, who previously represented Scott Peterson at the trial and ultimately the penalty phase of sentencing, says that if the state wishes to put someone to death, it must proceed to trial only with a fairly selected jury. Well, that's what the issue was when this case went all the way back up again to the California Supreme Court. Now, was Scott Peterson ever really in danger of being executed? Well, the governor there, like many governors, has issued a moratorium on the death penalty, which is basically says no one's going to be executed, at least not while he's governor. And then the case has to go. Then the whole matter will be revisited when a new governor is elected. Now, this particular case was regarding the particular issue that was reversed by the California Supreme Court was the issue of jury selection. In a death penalty case, a jury must be what is referred to as death qualified. What that means is that even if you don't necessarily agree with the death penalty, you still have to be able to apply the law and impose the death penalty if you think it is an appropriate sentence when weighing all the factors in the law given to the jurors. Well, in this particular case, the trial court didn't allow a couple of jurors who said, I don't necessarily like the death penalty, but if the right case were to come along, I could follow it and I could consider it if for that right case. Judge excused them. Garagos, at the time, made those objections. That issue was preserved. Now here we've gone through appeal. Now they're on post-conviction relief motions, and ultimately, this is what the court rules upon. Obviously, everyone who is up for the death penalty needs a fair and impartial juror, and everyone who's on a death case gets what is referred to as hyper due process. They're going to make sure that the person gets all the protections afforded to them. Why? Because the state is asking for the ultimate punishment, that being death. Now, is Mr. Peterson going anywhere? No. All they did was reverse the sentencing phase of the death penalty sentencing case, and all that means is he now has a life sentence if the prosecution doesn't go forward with trying to re-sentence and resubmit all the information to a new jury to decide whether the death penalty was in fact appropriate. No word yet from the district attorney who would be handling this matter, but if I were a betting man, I would think that they would be content with life without parole. Now, a lot of people think that there's new information that has come out, which would actually exonerate Scott Peterson. We'll be talking about that tonight when we go live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Please join us. Scott Peterson case never gets old. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Yes, meet Miss Nicole Dozios. She's 40 years old, and she shares a bedroom with her 59-year-old father. Well, apparently on Sunday, about 2 a.m., Miss Dozios became rather upset with her father due to his flatulence. That's right. Apparently, Miss Dozios aroused her father. An argument ensued, whereupon Miss Dozios then attacked her father, punching him in the face numerous times. The police were ultimately called, and when they arrived, they noted that the victim had a bloodied left eye and scratches all over his neck as a result of the attack on Mr. Dozios. Miss Dozios was arrested for domestic battery and booked into jail. She was ultimately released on her own recognizance, and she was ordered that she could have no contact with her father, which means she can no longer share the room regarding the subject of the offensive flatulence. Now, Miss Dozios, like a lot of our dumb criminal contestants of the days, always provides a teachable moment. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? She was charged with domestic battery. And a lot of people think that domestic battery only involves people that are involved in an intimate relationship. Husband, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, all that kind of stuff. No, it can include brothers, sisters, parents. And what's the significance of that? Most jurisdictions require domestic violence counseling and treatment. And if you have a domestic violence record, which is usually a factual basis, you're charged with the assault, and it's a domestic violence factual basis. Domestic violence isn't actually a charge. It's actually a sentencing enhancer, which means you get designated as a domestic abuser. Guess what? Then that means that you can no longer possess handguns, and in most states, long rifles as well. So I don't think that Ms. Dozios is necessarily has a big concern about her firearms, because clearly flatulence was more on her mind. Now, I get that the house looks rather small where the Dozios family got into a tiff, but you would think it would have been a lot easier to simply open a window or go outside. I'm not sure the medical condition of Mr. Dozios, but perhaps it is something that he simply cannot control. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have for you today. Please join us tonight at 6 p.m. Mountain Time when we go live. And shortly after that, we will do our Patreon live as well. In the Patreon, it is a little different because not only will we be talking about the topics or whatever you want to talk about, and it's a lot less people, but we'll also take phone calls where you can talk to me directly. And if you disagree with me on anything, we're taking your call first. Thanks for watching. Have a great day.